Welcome to episode one of Regis Spotlight. Today we will be myth-busting aged care with special guest Martin Jones, who has over 18 years experience in the aged care industry. Regis Spotlight is a series that discusses all things aged care and all things Regis. I'm Katrina Rigby.
And I'm Sam Smith. And this is Regis Spotlight.
Today, we'll be myth-busting some common misconceptions surrounding aged care and what you can actually expect to see when living in any of our homes. Welcome, Marty.
Hi, Katrina.
So today, we want to ask about some myths in the industry and what the reality is.
Sure.
One common misconception is that aged care is just for the wealthy.
Yeah, look, that's absolutely true. There's a lot of people that think that aged care is only for the wealthy because they hear the large sums that some people may have paid to get into aged care. But the true fact is that every aged care provider needs to have a certain percentage of rooms set aside for those needy people in the community. So there's always places for those people that the government classify as supported residents needing care. So it's important for them to know that there will always be a place in aged care for them.
And I think we often hear that sometimes aged care homes do take a lump sum payment and keep the lot. Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, that's another misconception. I think sometimes people get aged care and retirement villages mixed up because within the Aged Care Act, there are now payments that are referred to as refundable accommodation deposits. And if a resident chooses to pay that lump sum, then the full amount is refunded when they leave the facility. Unlike the retirement village industry, where sums of money are retained by the providers in retirement villages, and they're called deferred management fees, and they just don't exist in aged care.
Food is often a huge topic on people's mind when they think about going into aged care. What can residents actually expect?
Food has changed a lot in aged care over the years, and I've seen that firsthand. I think many people assume that the food in aged care is vitamised and all mixed together, and they have some pretty bad ideas about what residents are given in aged care. But I think they'd be surprised to see these days the types of foods that they're given. We have chefs on staff. We have dietitians reviewing our menus. We have nutritional meals. And for those residents that need a modified meal program, we also now use food molds because people eat with their eyes. So it's really important that what they're seeing on their plate is appetizing to stimulate their appetite, obviously. So those food molds now create real looking food for them if they do need that modified diet. And we often invite families to come and join us for lunches and dinners so they can see for themselves firsthand what our food's like. And I know I've tried it myself on a few occasions. I've sat with our residents and the food is terrific, really is.
I guess other than just the nutritional and the health benefits, do residents get a choice? Do they get to give their feedback? Do they get to talk to the chefs? How do they work around that?
Yeah, look, they do. They certainly can put in their preferences, and we'll always sit with a new resident and their family when they enter aged care and talk about what their requirements are and their preferences are, because that's really important that once they come into aged care that they can still have what they were having when they were in the family home. And we do modify some of our menus. For example, we've got a home in Blackburn South, which has a high percentage of Asian residents, and we've modified our menu out there to accommodate them, which is really important because they want to know that they're going to get something similar to what they were eating at home.
Right. So no one wants to be waiting for years to move into their new home. Is it true that it's difficult to get into aged care, Marty?
Yeah, that's another common misconception. And I know that there's been a lot of talk around at the moment about respite in aged care and whether or not people can access that, and also permanent places. So there is a belief out there that people have to put their names on a waiting list to go into aged care, and that's unusual. There are many places available in aged care today, so people can find respite or permanent places. So it's important that they explore the options that are available to them.
What is respite?
Respite is a temporary stay in aged care. So once again, that's granted by an aged care assessment team, whether or not somebody can access respite. Once they are granted access, that allows them 63 days or 9 weeks of temporary care in any aged care home across the country. And that allows their carer or family member to have a break. And that's really the primary purpose of respite. However, it gives that resident a great opportunity to see if they like the home, they like the food, the staff, the room that they're in, and make a decision whether or not that's something that they can see themselves remaining in or go back there in the future if they do require permanent care at some time later on.
I think residents in general want stability. That's what they used to do back at home. What are the chances of them having to move rooms once they're in one of our homes?
They can, by choice, move rooms. When they come in as a permanent resident, they come in on a signed contract, and that contract is for the particular room in the home that they enter. And they have something called security of tenure. So that room is their new home. And if the resident chooses to move, then we can certainly accommodate that to another room, a bigger room, smaller room, whatever they choose. Or if we believe their needs may require them to move to a different part of the home, then we'll certainly sit down and have a conversation with the family and that resident about the possibility of moving rooms for that purpose.
In the media over the past year, much talk has been made about people being isolated or lonely with no visitors when they're an elderly person. Can you tell us about a daily life in aged care?
Yeah, that has been disappointing to hear that. However, I know within the aged care setting, residents are involved in day-to-day lifestyle activities, and we have lifestyle coordinators and teams throughout all of our homes, and many other providers do similar things to what we do, to ensure that our residents aren't just sitting in their rooms and lonely. So we have programs, and once again, we'll talk to the resident and their family when they come in about their likes, things that they'd like to do and want to do, and try and incorporate that into their day-to-day activities, and to ensure that they're buddied up with other residents as well, and they have a really good welcoming stay at any one of our homes.
What activities can residents expect in their new home?
So our residents, when they come in, are met by our lifestyle teams and with their family members, and talk about some of the things that they'd like to do. And we'll share with them the types of activities that we have at our home. It's a 7-day per week program, and it involves excursions and incursions as well. We have various activities through our buses at our homes, which take them out to the RSL, to bowls clubs. Some of the men go to the football as well. And internally, we have a range of activities which include art classes, and we also have men's groups. We have different themed activities on a monthly basis, and there are different cultural activities. So there's a lot that our residents can do to ensure that they're not just sitting in their rooms and are lonely.
So, Marty, when you move into an aged care home, you are assessed at a certain level. What happens if your needs increase? Do you have to move?
Now, one of the changes that occurred back in the 1st of July 2014 was that homes are now what's called ageing in place homes. Prior to that, there was a different system where there were hostels and nursing homes, which catered for lower care needs and higher care needs, and residents were often forced to move from low care to high care. But these days, with the ageing in place homes, the majority of residents are able to come in at a lower care level and remain in that home, even as their care needs may increase. Yeah, so there may only be special circumstances where a resident may need to move, but in the overwhelming majority of cases, residents remain in that home.
So, Marty, can we talk about couples and how they would manage aged care?
So when it comes to couples moving into care, the important thing to note is that they have the choice as to the type of room that they can come in together. So either they can share a room together if that's what they would like, or some couples choose to have separate rooms in our home as well. So we'll obviously talk to the couple about what their wishes are and then try and accommodate them the best way that we can.
And that's regardless of the differing care needs between the couple?
Absolutely, because of the ageing in place situation currently. So one member might come in with lower care needs and the other one with higher care needs. But the great part about that is that they can remain together in our home and not have to find separate homes based on their care needs.
I guess it's just giving them the choice that they really need.
Absolutely. And it's important for people to know that they do have choice in care today. Part of the Living Longer, Living Better legislation is that it's all about consumer-directed care these days and the choices that they have. They've got choices of the home that they go into, the rooms that they go into, how they pay for their accommodation these days. And there's many choices on that. And we'll talk about that in later
podcasts,
I'm sure. So, it's choice and people need to understand that they're not just pushed down a certain path.
There are some myths about skills and staffing within aged care. What's the reality?
We have a range of staff working in our homes. We have registered nurses, personal carers, clinical managers, all highly skilled, and we continue to provide training and education for these people. Even roles that don't require a formal qualification are provided with regular training and education on an ongoing basis to ensure they're kept up with the current standards.
Thank you for your time today, Marty.
I guess we've covered off some of the most common myths in aged care, but if any of our audience want to have any more myths that they want to get busted, then you can contact us at advice@regis.com.au.
You've been listening to the Regis Spotlight podcast, the series that discusses all things aged care and all things Regis. Thanks to everyone who has listened and learned, and a huge thank you to Martin Jones for joining us in today's episode.
Please do share and subscribe to this podcast, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, check out the show notes and find out more information at regis.com.au. Thank you.